and God is calling us and desires of us to commit ourselves to the work. So Philippians chapter 1, let's go to verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And what I want to do is I just want to read this one verse and really dig into it as Paul wrote it to the church of Philippi. This is what he said. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So what Paul's doing is he's writing to a church at Philippi that became partners in his work. They became partners in his ministry. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but to share the gospel with people, it takes time, it takes talent, it takes treasure. So it takes a little bit of money to fund people to go into the ends of the world and proclaim the gospel. It takes food, it takes money to buy food or to buy equipment to travel or whatever Paul needed. Paul worked a little bit as well, but also this church became partners to him. And he is writing them and he is telling them this, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what that means is that the day of Jesus Christ has not come. He is referring to the time in which Jesus returns here. Okay, now the people of Philippi have gone and passed away because this is 2,000 years ago. I know some of us had school teachers that probably lived during the time of the Apostle Paul. But they have all gone, and they are all gone. So did the work stop when they passed? I mean, did the work of sharing the gospel to the ends of the world just stop because the Philippians have now passed away and there's no one else? No. He is calling each and every one of us to share the gospel in our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces, and he is going to use us in this good work, and one day he's going to bring it all to completion. But that day has not come. That day will either be when Jesus Christ returns as we walk this earth and we see the skies open up, or that day for us will come personally when we breathe our last breath. At that point, there is no more work to be done for us. So Paul is writing to them collectively, and I want to discuss collectively, but I also want to discuss the individuals that made the collective unit. Because inside of this church body, I don't know how many people are here today, but there are a bunch of ones. You, we could go one, 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 all the way around this church. This church is full of a bunch of individuals, and when they find themselves connected to a bunch of other individuals, that's what forms the body or the collective unit of the church. So what I want us to know is that we are all still at work. You are still at work. And he says, I'm going to, or not I, but God is going to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So yesterday I mentioned something on Facebook as I was in my office pretty late. Michaela did not kick me out of the house. I was really studying and really digging into the Word. But I wrote something on there that in Christ, if you are a Christian, then you are still in progress. Some people think that once I say the prayer or once I'm dipped in the water, everything's done. I made it. It's often like that moment I felt whenever I graduated boot camp. It was January 28th of 2011, and I stood on the parade deck at Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego, and I thought, I have made it. Little did I know, I had not made anything. I had graduated boot camp, but I still had years to go and a job to learn and people to serve alongside of. And I don't want you to think that just because you have prayed the prayer and just because you were baptized in the water or just because you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that everything is done. Now, in a sense, you have made it because you're no longer bound to sin. You are saved. But in another area of our life, meaning the rest of our life, we still have progress to make. We are all works in progress. So let me just go ahead and ask because I want to go ahead and get it out of the way now. Because when I ask this question, there may be some people that can leave early. Anybody love leaving early? Some of y'all were hoping all the mics didn't work, so we could just pray, go home, have a great day. But I'm going to go ahead and ask by a raise of hands, anyone in here perfect? Just raise your hand. You can go home. You don't need anything else. Kids are not perfect. Back there, Garth. Kids are not perfect. Nobody perfect. I'm thankful for that. Because y'all could have went home early. Because you didn't need this. But all of us still have work to do. And what I want to do is I want to attach, I guess I want to approach it individually. Understanding that there is always work to do in us. Knowing that I am not perfect means that there is still work to do in me. Anyone in here perfect? Nope. I've already asked. No one answered. How about now? Anyone in here perfect yet? Nope. We never will be the rest of our lives. We are always a work in progress. God is constantly going to reveal sin to us that we didn't think was a big deal. And maybe we lived in it for quite a few years. But once we grow deep enough into our relationship with Him, things that we thought were small a season ago are now hard or now have become large and big in God's eye and in our eye, and we recognize that, so we repent of that. And there's always work to be done in us. There's always more of Him to be had. Knowing this, I will never get as close to Jesus until the day I stand with Him forever and ever. So meaning the time that you have left on this earth, every waking second that you have, you are always a work in progress. God is always wanting to work in you. There's always more of me that could become more like Him. There's always going to become more of me and be more of me that can become more and more like Jesus, my Lord. That is the goal of my life, to become like Jesus. I mentioned it weeks ago. I want my girls to stand there by the casket and say, that was the closest thing to Jesus we could ever see on this earth. I'm not even close there yet. I'm closer to the casket than I am to the Christ. But I want my life to be so in pursuit of Him that I could be a reflection of Him or be His representative here on this earth. So understanding that there's always a work to do in me. And God is always wanting to do a work through me. And this is where it gets kind of, I don't know if it would be testy in the church. Because I want you to know, God does not call you to one job your entire life. Because you have one gift now, or one ability now, or one responsibility now, does not mean that God's going to ask you to do that forever. It may be worship. It may be preaching. It may be teaching. It may be cooking. It may be cleaning. It may be serving. There are people that have done things for years. And I want you to know that there's going to come a point where there's going to be someone else needing to fill that role. And what happens is, since God is wanting to do a work in us, He's always wanting to draw us closer to Him and draw us closer to Him, and He's always wanting to work through us, meaning that He is wanting you and He is calling you to commit to and consecrate yourself for the good work that He is wanting to do through you, meaning to purify yourselves and commit yourself to Him, understanding that the breath that I breathe in my lungs is not even of my own, but it was God that breathed into man that became a living being. So I am living on borrowed breath, therefore I should take advantage of it and do all that I can. So He is always wanting to work through me. Now what happens is, whenever we get into a position to say, well, God's done working through me, or maybe we feel like we're the best in this area or that service, and we don't need to continue growing and allowing God to work in us, what happens is we stunt our own growth. We stunt our own growth. How pathetic of it would it be of me to say that I'm the best preacher? But seriously, if I ever thought for a minute that I am the best preacher, then I'll just stop my growth. I'm 3 years into this thing, and I have a lot to learn, and I have a lot to know, and I've got a lot to perfect or craft, and there's a lot of me that needs to be developed in order to become more and more like Jesus is wanting to be. But if I think to myself, man, I got this thing figured out, I think we've got a good rhythm going, or I've got it going, then what happens is I stunt my own growth by thinking that I've gotten to the point that God's called me to. But He's always calling us to deeper waters. He's always calling us to new levels. So if you think for a second that you are the most talented in this or the most talented in that, then what's going to happen is you're going to stunt your growth and also stunt the growth of the people to come. Because I love being at Pleasant Hill Christian Church. I love it. Anybody else love it? Yeah, amen. I love it. I've been here for, it'll be 3 years next month. Some of y'all are thinking, man, 3 years. Some of y'all may not think that way. Sometimes I think that way. Oh, God, I got 30 more years of this. Yeah, I'm 28. I got a long way to go. But if I were to ever think that there will never be someone else fill that pulpit right there, then I'm going to stunt my growth and stunt the growth of this church. Because you all aren't here for me. You all are here for him. I'm just a vessel that God's using in this season that may last 3 years, 33 years. I don't know how long God's going to call me to this place. I don't know how long it's going to be until someone else who is younger and wiser and more gifted stands behind that pulpit and delivers the word and advances the gospel in greater ways than I ever thought about. But if I think for myself for a minute that I have made it or I am no longer needing to allow God to work in me, to work through me in a deeper way, then I will stunt my own growth and I will stunt the growth of this church. Because I will prepare myself to just be it. And I'll make it about me and I'll stunt the growth of this thing. Because if you haven't noticed, there's more work to be done. And knowing that God's constantly wanting to work through me, we have to understand that spiritual progress is rooted in what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. And this is what I want you to just really get into your soul today, that if you still have lung in your oxygen, if you still have, see, I'm still not very good at this. If you have oxygen in your lungs and you have a beating inside of your chest, God is still wanting to use you. And sometimes it may be difficult because we're wanting to do something and we find a gift for it, but God may be calling us to put that thing down and pick something else up. God may be calling us to do the work that he's calling us, and that work may be preparing someone else to take over the role or the responsibility we find ourselves in now. And knowing that every waking and breathing second of my life, God is going to want to work in me and through me, should push us and compel us into growing deeper and deeper with him, knowing that he is always calling you to him. He is always calling you to deeper. So if I feel close to him now, I can't wait to see 5 years from now. I can't wait to see the lives that we're able to impact 3 years from now or 10 years from now. I can't wait to see the things that I don't view as a big deal right now, God reveals to me, and I repent of them so I can get even closer and closer to him. Because until the day of completion, there's always work to do. But the beauty of it and the beautiful thing of it all is to know that the God that saves us is the same God that strengthens us and sustains us. Meaning he gives us the strength in which we need to fulfill the duties of the work. And he sustains us through all hardships and trials to remain committed to the work in which he has for us. And what I want you to know is that God is calling you to him. He is wanting to work in you. There are things in our lives that need to go, to be used by him in greater ways. I've often heard that oftentimes people miss their calling because of their character. People have missed their calling because of their character. They were never able to develop the character and the integrity to have the influence that God desired them to have. And right now it may seem to you like, well, I don't know what God's calling me to. Me neither. Me neither. I don't know what God is going to call me to do 10 years from now or 40 years from now. Or I've reached a point where I don't know if God can use me because I've done so much wrong. I don't know what God wants from me. I don't know if he can use me. And I'm telling you that with every breath that you take, God is calling you to use you to bring him glory. And how are you going to bring him glory? By loving people and by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ through the way that we live, love, and lead. But now when we think about it collectively, so Paul's writing to this church to become partners. And he writes to them collectively, but that collective unit is made up of a bunch of individuals. He's writing to them collectively. And this church was a big partner in his life and meant a lot to him. It doesn't take long to read in this letter that they were very deep into his heart and soul. And he's writing to them and he's saying, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And he's talking about the good work that they had done to him, for him, but also the good work in which they have done around their area. And I just want to ask us as a church, let's think together for a minute. How are we working? I mean, really, how are we working? We host a big clothing event every July. We send 100 shoeboxes out every Christmas season. How are we working? I mean, collectively, this place is pretty full. But I don't ever want us to get to the point in which we think that we have done it when the house is full. That's not the mark of our work. Filling the house is great because the people are fed and the people are able to worship and the people join together in community. But when the house is full doesn't mean we've done the job. We have not done the job until heaven is full. We are called to make disciples. We are called to preach the gospel. We are not called to bring people in here and keep them here and try to entertain them for a bit. We appreciate every single soul in here. And we're going to nurture you. We're going to lead you. We're going to equip you. And we're going to give you the tools that you need to carry out the work that God has for you. But if we think for a minute, man, church is full, we're doing it great, then we have missed the mark a bit. Now, yes, it's important to get people into church so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came to die for them. Maybe they've never heard it, or maybe they've never surrendered themselves to him. But I want us to think collectively that our work is truly marked by how we fill heaven one day. That's how our job is marked. That's how our work is determined. So we have to ask ourselves as a church, or me individually, am I working to bring people in? Am I working to bring people to life group? Or am I wanting to use those things as tools to ensure that they end up in heaven with me one day? So we can sing songs of glory and praise to our Lord, not just on Sunday morning for 30 minutes, but forever and ever. That's what our mark, or that's what our work should be marked by. So we have to just ask ourselves individually and collectively, how are we working? And again, some people say, well, surely God cannot use me. Okay, so if I had the time in the day, I would go through the entire Bible and tell you about the people that God used. I would tell you about Noah, who was the drunkard. I would tell you about Moses, who was the murderer. I would tell you about David, who was the adulterer. I would tell you, I can't even think of all of the names and all of the people. I would think of Jacob, who was the deceiver. I would tell you of Peter, the psychotic man, Peter, who cuts ears off and yells at people, even Jesus. Like he used him. Don't think to yourself ever for one second that just because of what you have done or where you find yourself right now, that God could never use you. Again, if you have breath in your lungs, and you have this thing beating inside of your chest, God is calling you to him, and God is wanting to use you to glorify him. So we have to get over ourselves. We have to move past our past and past our mistakes and know that God is wanting to work in you. In you. Because I could stand here and say, man, I'm not really qualified for this. I'm not really gifted for this. I've done too much. Or I could rejoice in the glory of my Lord that has redeemed me from all that I have done. And I can allow him to work in me so that he could be seen through me. That's what we should do. Or maybe we think to ourselves, well, I've served for this long and you know, there's really nothing else for me to do. God's always going to work in you. It may be a new duty. It may look different. But God's always going to work in you. God's always going to work through you. I'm 28, but I think I have like an old soul, meaning some people want to do Facebook, Instagram, and go all over the place. I just want to sit on the front porch with a cup of coffee and seriously, like, lock the kids in one room, and my wife and I just sit there on the porch, dreaming of the day that they say, Daddy, we're moving out. I'm not qualified for this. But on a serious note, I think to myself of the day that they move out and the day in which I sit on that porch with Michaela, and whenever we retire on the beaches of North Carolina one day, I think of that. But then I also look at every day in between as an opportunity to allow God to work in me and through me. Because if I'm so focused on what's going to come, I will miss what is right in front of me. I have three girls. I must have done a lot of things wrong growing up. So God's going to show me how, through my parenting, how to nurture these three girls and to raise them up to find godly men one day. And it's my work. It's my work. But if I'm so focused on college or career, then I'm going to miss every step along the way. I'm going to miss every opportunity that I can just hear them say, Daddy, guess what I did? If I'm so focused on, I can't wait until this season of work is over, I just can't wait until God brings me something new, I'm going to miss every blessing that is right in front of me. I was talking with my pastor this past week, who I consider still to be my pastor. And he said one of the greatest things that he does, he loves to preach and he loves to pastor people, but to just sit in a car and ride around town with his teenage son. Just to talk like dad and son talk, and he's trying to tell him, well, that's a red flag about that girl. But he's like, no, Dad, she's all right. And he's like, no, son, you really should consider. And just talking and spending that time knowing that that is his work, or your work may be your job. It may be your grandkids. It may be this church and your service. But if we look at it as a bad or a burdened work in a sense of like, man, I can't wait until I retire. I can't wait until I don't have to preach anymore. I can't wait until Sherry Ware will never exist under my authority. I can't wait until this is over or I'm done with that. Then we will miss every blessing along the way. Because when our God begins a good work, He will bless us in it. When He begins it, He will bless us in it. Understanding, I mentioned earlier, This progress is rooted in what God has done, what God is doing, and what He will constantly do in us. And maybe you walked in today and you thought, I don't know what God wants me to work at. I don't know what good work He's wanting me to live in. I want you to know this, that you are valuable to the body of Christ. Paul mentions that we are one body made of many members. You may be in a season right now where He is just simply calling you to your family. You may be in a season of development that God's just keeping you right where you are because He knows that if you get on some kind of platform too long, that your character was not developed for the calling that He has for you. So wherever you find yourself today, I want you to hear this and I want you to get it into your soul that God is not done with you yet. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. God is not done with you yet. I don't care how much wrong you've done or how many blessings you've given. God is not done with you yet. I don't care if you can tell me I have done this longer than you've been alive, or I have done all of these things. God is not finished with you yet. So when you leave this place, maybe you'll leave and you'll say, well, I've done a lot of wrong things. Yeah, so have I. So is the person sitting next to you. And some of your spouses have done many more wrong things. But God is still wanting to use them just as he's wanting to use you. Because I don't know if you've paid attention to this, but if you were to look at our city of Potosi and surrounding area, there's a lot of work to do, church. Oh my goodness, there's a lot of work to do. There are a lot of kids that don't have parents hugging them and loving them. There are a lot of people that are thirsty for something, and they're looking at all the wrong places. I don't know if you've looked around yet. You just drive through town for 20 minutes, and I'm telling you, you will find three different ways to serve in this city of Potosi. There are kids that are not told, great job on this. There are wives that are never appreciated for the work they do. There are husbands that will never lead their homes like they are supposed to and called to. There is a lot of work to do, church. There's a lot of work to do in these walls. There's a lot of work to do outside of these walls. I don't care if this church is full right now. Maybe one day it's going to be fuller. Maybe one day there's going to be more people who are hungry for the gospel and hungry for righteousness coming to be fed, coming to be equipped. But it doesn't happen until we go and be the church outside. Outside of these walls, which is more important than bringing them in. And I know that you might question that a little bit. Well, I thought the point was coming to church. No. The point is to know Christ. That's it. God's not going to ask you, well, bud, in 1986, you only went to 40 services that year. And then in 1987... See, I wasn't even born yet, so I don't know what y'all did back then. And in 1987, you went to 29 services. You declined a little bit. No. It's a daily denial of self to walk in relationship with my Lord, to work in what he has called me to do. So two questions to end this thing. Am I allowing God to work in me? Am I obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Am I obeying the convictions of the Holy Spirit? Am I allowing God to work in me and complete the work in me that will take the rest of my life? And am I willing to allow God to be seen through me? Individually, are you? And collectively, are we? Are we more focused on what needs we can meet than the name that we share with them of Pleasant Hill Christian Church? Are we allowing God to work in us, and are we willing to allow God to work through us? Let's pray.